my God. A quote from her. My bottom is so big, it's got its own gravitational field.
No, I know that's true. Yeah. It pulls blokes towards it anyway. Hello, Auntie Pamela.
Hi, Aunt Pamela.
Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the big things at the back of Carol Vorderman. No, all the big stories in tech.
family, as long as your family's dysfunctional.
Should we start again?
I figured that was a go.
Man. Auntie Pamela's watching this thinking we do this shit every week.
Yeah.
You'd be right.
Well, she did. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
we need to be on our best behavior for Aunt Pamela.
Auntie Pamela, God.
Let's set a record for F-bomb, shall we?
No, let's not, because we've got no editing time whatsoever. Greeny, do not say the F word or the C word or any other word that I need to delete, please.
Well, especially knowing that Auntie Pamela is watching, I certainly will not.
Ladies present, absolutely. We're here to discuss all the big week's tech news. So joining me, what a panel. We actually, considering we've had a bit of a dry couple of weeks running up to this, I booked these two panels and they're all here, look. In fact, we actually had seven today on the Mac show, so... Mully, you're fine.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. I think, no. So, joining me, fantastic group, absolutely awesome. Top left, it's Camps. How the devil are you, brother?
What have
you
been? I'm good. Even got to be back after, I think it's probably about 3 weeks.
Well, where the bloody hell have you been?
Me and Angela, but we had some rare nights out. Unheard of. So yeah, we had a few nights out. She went out with her friends. I went out with my friends, and we had one night out together. So what was nice.
So what you're saying is you ditched your mates for a bird?
For my wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Other than that, yeah. Keeping busy. Work's busy. Running 3 weeks away now from the marathon. Training hard for that. And yeah, all good.
You're going to eat a whole marathon.
A whole one.
All nuts and all.
Everything. I'll be, yeah, definitely. After I'll finish, I'll be eating anything I can.
Yeah, no, cool. Well, congratulations, mate. I stand in envy of you, because I wouldn't be doing it.
So long as I do it, let me get finished first, but then, yeah.
Yeah, he's camping in mourning for Leeds, says Muller.
There's time yet, Muller. There's time yet. More chance than you.
I bet that walking goal had to hurt, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Let's see what happens. It's just going to be bloody typical if we get Derby in playoffs, but we'll see.
Campion's punditry on football, and he turns into the Churchill dog. Oh yes.
Oh yes.
Which means Jeff is now going to have to Google the Churchill dog. Otherwise, he's got no clue what's going on.
Google, their algorithms probably cannot sort me out at all.
No. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm doing great.
Back on your cozy line one.
Yeah, it feels like I'm back home.
Yeah, good man. Hoping to come with a good... We've already caught up today, so if you don't listen to the Mac show, you bloody should. So find out how Jeff is by going and listening to the Mac show.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Underneath him, it's Atley. Did you like your new caricature, mate?
I do. I love it. It's hilarious.
It's you. It is totally absolutely is. You. Look at that picture. Look there, right there. That was it.
Captured it. It's hilarious. Yeah.
Len Peralta has done to catch up the rest of the team on. So we had Atley, we've had Howard done, we had James Ricard's done, and we also had Brett Terpstra done. So we'll get those updated on the banners now. How have you been, mate?
Not bad. Busy.
How was the smoking the other week?
The smoking.
Yeah, you were doing you said I'm going to finish the show and then I'm going to go smoke some stuff.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. I said I was going to go barbecue.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, yeah, okay. The same thing.
Well, it wasn't.
No, barbecuing and smoking are different.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
I thought you were smoking, I have to say, but.
Yeah, no, fair enough. No, barbecuing, it was great weather for it. And fortunately, the weather's kind of turned and we've had drizzly, rainy weather since, so haven't been able to do any more, but. Looking forward to it.
Excellent.
Did actually put an offer in a house today, though.
Is this house inside the same continent, or have you decided to move away again?
No, it's in the same continent, but it's in a different province. So I'll be moving closer to you guys. About as close as I can get without getting my feet wet.
Do you get a time change in that or not?
Yeah, I do. I do.
You get a whole extra hour or 2 hours or?
An hour closer to you guys.
Oh, brilliant. That's going to really screw things up.
Yeah, it will. It'll be awesome.
And then we'll find they don't do daylight saving and that's it. The wheels come off. That's the last we'll see of you.
No, it should be fine. I play around in all sorts of different time zones as it is. I'm actually going to be gone all next week in Seattle for Build, for the big developers conference in Seattle. So,
excellent.
Another time zone. So,
making a very welcome return. We haven't seen him in bloody ages. Greeny boy, where the devil have you been?
Greeny.
Hey, a little trumpical then. Hello, old friends. I'm very, very well. Yes.
Good man.
Extraordinarily well.
Good. Glad to hear it. And you got the ivories going in the back there.
Oh, good for the soul. Yes.
Do you get to play that with the volume up, or have you got to wear earphones? Or?
No, I can play with the volume up.
Oh, we might have a bit of Mr. Blue Sky later, out of you then.
Oh, okay. I'm up for that. I don't mind that. Yeah.
Good lad. Excellent. And last but by no means least, Auntie Pamela's niece.
Hello.
How you doing, mate?
I'm all right.
Good show this afternoon, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good.
You talked a bit more as well, which was lovely.
Yes, I was a bit more perkier today, so it's all right.
You were excellent, mate.
Thank you.
And we talked about your... Sorry, I don't want to talk about the web conference again. You did knack yourself out doing it, didn't you?
I did, so...
Burnt the candle at both ends.
Yep, but hey, till the next time.
You're sorted now.
Yeah.
Till next year.
Oh, till June.
Oh, you got another one in June?
I'm going to the Europe one in June, so yeah.
How do people get to the Europe one then?
A website, WordCamp Europe.
Cool.
Yeah, it's in Berlin this year, so hey.
Jeffrey needs to get his employers to pay for his flight.
That would be a lot of fun. I do go to WordCamps.
There you go.
Yeah.
Text Expander and WordCamp. Surely they've got to go home. Then.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what a webcamp is.
Oh, well, there you go. How are
we? WordPress. So it's anything related to WordPress. So you don't have to be a developer. You could be a user or a blogger or anything, really. Or you're just curious. You can just come down and... attend workshops, meet people. It's great for networking and great food for 40 quid.
The food stuff is good. So it's all about WordPress. It's just about WordPress.
Anything related to WordPress, yeah.
All right.
I don't know how to use it very well.
You should show up.
Yeah, then you should come along.
So there is novice, because I was there, because I know sod all about WordPress. And Harry was trying to get me to go, but I couldn't go that weekend. Otherwise, I would have gone.
I think they've run something in Birmingham, so.
Well, you've got to come up for one in Birmingham. Then you've got to come to the studio.
Yeah,
you've got to go for a curry at the Kismet. You've got to do that. There is a pilgrimage that is required of all people who follow BTN to come to the studio and have a Kismet curry.
Well, it better be good curry.
Oh, I do. Oh no, then, fellas. Camps, tell her about the curry.
It's good. It's good curry.
That's good.
Definitely. Worth the trip to Birmingham.
Good curry.
Okay.
Calps makes his pilgrim every year. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, the thing with WordPress, I do use it, but I struggle between, there's like normal WordPress and there's an extra bit of WordPress, which I've never figured out. So when you turn that part on, everything changes.
Well, there's lots of extra bits. There's like PowerPress and that kind of stuff, isn't there? You can add in. There's loads of plugins for it.
Mm, yeah, there's loads of plugins.
Even I know that. And I'm an idiot.
Ah. Well, if we had an idiot competition, I think I'd probably...
No. You're not doing... Yeah, no, Greeny. You're more competent than you're putting on there, I'm afraid. I'm not having it.
Okay. Fair enough.
You beat me when you said I do know how to use WordPress, but I don't know how to use WordPress. I can't be asked. So. The Week in Tech, all the big stories that have gone, all the things that have happened. If you're Elon Musk, you're probably going to collapse the planet economically. That's coming up. Or his car will burn down your house entirely. I've got nothing to back that up, by the way. I just thought I'd say it. And also, there was something that happened on the moon. I can't remember what it was.
On the moon?
Yeah.
Or was that the Peanuts thing?
No, there was something about something on the moon. Someone told me about it. It was something about like a tourist site for the Apollo 11 moon landings.
I can tell you all about that moon story.
You can? All right. Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute then. Who's got the first story in? Who's going to kick us off? Camps, some fast-fingered Camps. Look at that. I thought I could let the lady go first. No.
Well, I just wasn't fast enough, but hey, go on then.
Not fast enough, Camps. Talk us through it then, dude.
So I came across this one yesterday, and I just think the whole principle behind it is brilliant. So scenario is, almost in remembrance of World Holocaust Day, Instagram Stories has been used. So Eva.Stories is an Instagram channel which has used stories to essentially recreate a real-life journal of a young girl, Eva Heyman, who was a 13-year-old Jewish girl who lived in Nazi-occupied Hungary. So what's happened here is that essentially the story using Eva's diaries and journals has been recreated 15 seconds at a time using stories about I think it's 70 stories, actually, if I remember. It does tell you in this article. And chronicles Eva's life in 1944. So you've got scenes of when she's in the family apartment, how they have to be quiet, how food's smuggled in. Very, very much an Anne Frank-type story, yeah. Right through to the scenario where, obviously, Nazis... find them, they capture them, torturing the adults, taking the children away, splitting the family up, the train to Auschwitz, the whole scenario that goes with it. So from a history point of view, actually, you're watching it as if this young girl has got an iPhone and she is storying all of the events throughout this period. So I think what struck me about this is using a new technology to essentially tell people, show people what happened. So rather than watching on TV in a drama or something, you know, let's take this from a different angle. Let's go to the millennials, teach them how the events unfolded back then. I just think it's a fantastic use of Instagram. Fantastic use of a modern platform to essentially retell and educate history. I thought it'd be quite a good conversation point on here in terms of it's the first time I've seen anything like this. Certainly worth a watch. Really interesting. Don't know if anybody's seen this.
I'm playing the video now.
Over a million followers already.
I haven't seen it, but I'd be interested to actually follow them now just to hear the story.
It's had some controversy that it's almost glorifying the Holocaust, and that's not what it's about at all. Mm. You've got Benjamin Netanyahu and other people like that actually supporting it because of the storytelling involved. I just think it's a great use of the social media platform.
Well, I follow Auschwitz on Twitter, and I find some of their posts quite harrowing at times.
This is absolutely that.
It'll list, you know, the thing with the Auschwitz Memorial Twitter account is that they'll post stuff that's like on this day, and you look at what happened through the summer of 1942, and they did a blow-by-blow through the whole of the summer last summer, and it you looked at the scale of the numbers of people that were transported in, how many of them were killed in a day from the intake. And you were talking somewhere between 60 and 90% of the numbers that were listed. We're talking 1,200 people a day. Mm. And that is an industrial scale of death, which is abhorrent and unfathomable.
Horrific.
Yeah. Unfathomable. It really is.
And for me, when you watch these stories, you're brought into the story. You know, the acting is fantastic in it. The young girl, how she's crying into the camera, she's telling the story. You know, you can almost see the fear in the eyes. Very, very believable. I found it, and as I was watching it, I was just thinking, you know, if there's too many people nowadays who don't really remember some of the most significant events of history, what's got the world where we are today, good and bad. And I think adoption of a platform like Instagram, the popularity that it's got, can only be a good thing in my view to teach people around what has happened and obviously a lot of the mistakes of the past.
What's, Camps, what's the, I mean, you've obviously looked at this. What's the feedback been like from the people following? What's the commentary been like?
Fantastic. Fantastic. You know, there's a lot around. There's a lot of, what here from, I've not gone into loads of profiles and looked, a lot seem to be children. Obviously, kind of got a question. Obviously, you've got to be 13 to use Instagram, but certainly a lot of younger people. And then you've got a lot of older people as well who are almost saying that, it takes me back, you know,
right.
whether these are people who've been there, they were witness to it, they were alive at the time, and there's all other various news feeds. Well, I've no idea.
They're kind of fairly young now, I would have thought, though.
Yeah, it's got to have been.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It just sounds really...
That's an interesting way to storytell, and I wonder if seeing that, there'll be a lot more of those kind of stories or stories covering different things back then?
I hope so because my daughter's too young for it. She's 7, so she's too young for this sort of thing now, but I could imagine my daughter learning history this way quite effectively. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I said, come on, let's go sit down and watch a program about this, probably a little bit less interested.
I've seen two similar things, although they weren't on Instagram. They're both on Twitter. And the first one was the Voyage of the Titanic. And even knowing the whole chronology, I mean, it was very powerful to read this thing as they were tweeting it out in real time. And then another one was the Apollo 11 mission. And that was just really cool as well. So seeing this happen on Instagram, it just seems like a natural progression. And it looks like this is, just from the little clips that I've seen so far, an incredibly powerful way to tell a tragic story like this.
Mm.
Well, the national curriculum in England covers World War II. I know Ellis definitely did the socio and economic effects of the causation of World War II as part of his course. I don't know whether they've touched on the Holocaust or not. He doesn't mention it very much, but it would be a great learning tool
absolutely.
For that syllabus if it was included.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to see more things like this. I'd love to see more of history's stories told in this way. Just because of the engaging factor.
Well, I think one of the things that you know a lot of people should do is follow the Holocaust Museum on Twitter because the posts that they put on there are incredibly informative, and they go down to a personal level. So you'll say a picture of Itzhak someone, and they'll tell you what he did in his real life, how he was taken into Auschwitz, where he came from, how he was dealt with when he got there, allocated the number of, taken the picture of. Or was immediately sent to the gas chambers. And it was, there's some stuff in there that's pretty tough to deal with. You know, the kids of under 10s were, their life expectancy once they were through the gates was 20 minutes.
Mm.
And that's again, shockingly fast.
Yeah. I think just to pick up on Jeff's point about the Voyage of the Titanic on Twitter, I think if that story was replayed in this sort of format on Instagram, I think it'd be fantastic. You know, seeing it in video format and in the very quick 15-second chunks are so powerful because obviously you don't need to hear the end-to-end story. You can see these 15 seconds at a time. Chronological order is taking you through the end-to-end. So within the space of half an hour, you're seeing everything of what would normally probably be several weeks' worth of story.
One of the things that when you originally put the story up, Camps, I read it and it was imagine if, and it told the story of the girl. And in my head, I was kind of a little bit disappointed when I saw imagine if, because that preempts what you're about to watch. Whereas I would have liked to have seen it in a more modern situation where they were saying what was happening to them. Because there's a point from Serenak here in the chat room saying, and this kind of stuff still goes on. There are still death squads going around in certain areas of the world you know, we've had Rwanda, we've had Kosovo. There's an awful lot goes on in the Middle East over the IS stuff. There's the Kurds, that kind of thing. It would be an interesting thing if they'd taken everything of her experience and just translated it into a modern setting and seen and gauged what the reaction would have been. But
yeah,
then after I thought that, I thought that would be an interesting social experiment to see what the reaction would be like now. But then I thought, no, it wouldn't actually, because you get a lot of trolls would come onto that, and it wouldn't be a good social experiment at all. It would make you probably feel bad that you were alive in an era where people could write things that were as bad as that. So I don't know. I had two feelings about that. Good story, mate. So best of luck to whoever posts the second one.
Oh, yes, I beat Jeff.
It was Howard.
No, I beat somebody. You totally beat me.
Yeah, okay. Follow that then, Howard. UK government proposes mandatory security labels.
Oh, yeah, so they're talking about having labels for Internet of Things, which I thought would be quite interesting given what we've got at the moment with food labels. And it's a voluntary, initially it's going to be voluntary for companies to sign up to this. So I was wondering what people's idea would be on having a...
So what's the
labeling system? So it'd be a labeling system to show you how secure it is, what you need it to do, similar to the food, what we have at the moment as to how much salt and things you have, be something similar for your Internet of Things devices. Because one of the concerns that they're having is the fact that they are not secure because everybody's trying to get everything to market and they're not really thinking about security and privacy.
So it says here that although this is initially voluntary, it will become a mandatory system anyway, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How would this work? Here's where I'm going with this. There's a lot of products out there where maybe the manufacturer is doing everything they can to try and make it secure. And yes, granted, I know a lot of companies are not, but... Let's say you are a company that's actually trying to make your product secure. You're sourcing chips and other components from other companies where you can't necessarily vouch for the security of those elements. So how would you label your product as secure when you don't really know if it is?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Go ahead, Greeny.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I know a little bit about this. The main thing is, so most IoT stuff is insecure, easily hacked. You don't want people opening your garage door without you knowing. It offers so much security problems. So the point really, I think, is to divide your network into two. As I understand it to be, to make it more secure. So you, using your router with cleverness, is divide your network, your wireless network, into two. So if somebody gets into your network, as in, you know, your computers and so forth, that your IoT stuff is on a separate network, and then sort of really hammer that one down. Well, you can obviously hammer them both down, but keep them very much separate. But IoT is essentially flawed at the moment and really, really insecure. I wouldn't have a single IoT thing in my house, and that comes to a telly with a microphone and all that sort of stuff and a toaster. I wouldn't have a bar of it.
Yeah, but Greeny, isn't the issue here that this isn't proposed at people such as yourself or for to protect people such as yourself? This is this is the other tens of millions of people across the UK, across the world, who, no, my mum, who just goes and buys an Echo, she has absolutely no idea about security, none at all. She certainly won't have a clue what a network is, let alone what the router does or how to split that off. So all she's going to do is go home, plug it in, and follow the instructions.
Yeah.
But why I still don't get IoT. Why people need this stuff? I'm a big anti-IoT person.
Well, I'm not, and there's millions of people that are not.
Yeah.
Go on, Hoa.
There's loads of people that aren't. I mean, even simple things like baby cameras. I remember last year going to some conference and they were talking about the cameras that people have at their homes, and you could have easily hacked into it and, you know, recorded and seen everything. And they were still being sold on Amazon, even though the company had been told your devices aren't secure. So I'm wondering whether it's things like this that's what they're trying to tackle, to say, you know, you can have this, but at your risk.
Greeny, you've been kippered by Muller because he said you've got Siri on your phone and your iMac. At least you have to trigger it on your iMac, but you, it's a voice command on your phone, so your phone is listening. So get that tinfoil hat, Pat.
Yeah, well, except I've turned Siri off. I don't like it.
Oh, okay, fair enough then. Boom.
Now, I have a real-world example, personal example of IoT being incredibly useful for me. So where I live, this apartment was built in somewhere between 1915 and 1920. So it was not designed for things we need today, like an air conditioner. So what I had to do to get air conditioning in my place was find an air conditioner a window air conditioner that's smaller than the normal size, because the windows aren't as wide as modern windows. Do that, but now I'm limited to it's on or it's off, and that's it. And what I need is something that has like a thermostat where it can turn on when it needs to and turn off when it needs to, because being on an upper level, I don't have the luxury of saying, oh, I'll turn it off when I'm not here and then turn it on when I come back home, because my place will always be 100 degrees. There's just no way the air conditioner would be able to catch up. So what I did was I put a Wemo switch on the wall, or into the outlet, plugged the air conditioner into that, and then I got a smart thermostat. And now when the temperature gets warm enough in my place, the air conditioner can turn on, and I'm able to keep a more stable temperature without having to run the air conditioner constantly.
But that's the point I'm trying to make, really, I suppose. So an IoT device like that is an open door to allow people into your network. Because they're fatally flawed, and once they're in your network, then they can go onto your Mac or your PC or whatever device you want. So that's really the point I was trying to make, with you need to divide your network into two. Now, I do get that people might not understand how to do that. And I suppose if you're into IoT, call a lady or a gentleman who knows what they're doing to go in and divide your network up into component parts. So, So your garage door and so forth isn't opened up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, but I
don't mind that, because I haven't got a garage door.
I'm not sure I'd do something that was the perimeter of my building as being on IoT. I agree with you there, Greeny, definitely. But things like, I wake up in the morning in the freezing dead of winter when the alarm goes off to come to work, and I roll over and tell a lady to switch on the studio radiators. By the time I've been sharing my breakfast, when I get down here, it's warm. And I know you're going to go, that's, well, Christ, first world problems, but I do really value that.
Yes, I can appreciate that. But surely you could just use an old school timer or something like that? Maybe.
Well,
not.
Because I'm not here every day. The fact that I can also then get in my car and drive away and think, oh, crap, I left the radiators on, and I can turn them off with my phone. The fact that I've got an alarm system here, which Rob, GB Redneck, installed for me, and that allows me to switch my alarm on and off via my phone. And also, as well, because it's automated, Rob's written a protocol so that regardless if I'm not here and I forget, my alarm comes on at 11. And I've also put in failsafes in all the devices. So at 11 o'clock, all the radiators and all the lights go off. So that kind of stuff is which is, I know, only a timer-based thing, but I do really value that. I use my lights more judiciously now that I've got Internet of Things on it, and I'm using less of the world's assets because I've got IoT on it than I would do if I hadn't, because I'd just have bland timers, like you say, and then I would be like, well, it's running, I know it's running, but I'm not going in today, and there's nothing I can do to change it. I'm down in Southampton. Mm-hmm. Well, now I can change it.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing for me from an IoT point of view, and I know it's been reported they've had their own problems that they've had to deal with, but the Ring doorbell, I absolutely love that device in terms of never missing a delivery. I have the motion sensor set on a night, so if anybody did come down my driveway towards my front door, I'd hear the chime go. So it's a basic thing, but I really value that.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, a lot of these sensors and things that we use can help us to better restrict our use of resources and actually end up being a lot greener for the planet, and can also, you know, help in other ways, like you said, to protect our stuff and to make sure that we're able to, you know, live comfortably without worrying about, you know, what resources we're wasting, whether our stuff's getting stolen. I'm using a couple of different sensors to handle the light on one of my pet's cages, as well as the light outside our house. We have a big lamp on in our front patio that we have set up so that it detects when it's past a certain darkness, and then it goes on. And it's a big old classic lamp. There's no way that was built with that. So we wired that into the settings. We used to have a standard timer on it. It was okay, but then we're constantly adjusting the timer because the light, you know, it gets dark sooner and earlier at different times of the year, and you're constantly adjusting it. Now we can have it come on when it needs to come on, and if it's, you know, bright one morning earlier, it goes off earlier.
Bob mm-hmm. Beach has said, same here, you in love being able to switch the heating on before we get home, to which Muller said, why don't you send a telegram to your butler to put the coal fire in?
As one does.
And he says he does that.
Bob says he does.
I think the part of this story that made me smile, though, is that the UK government proposes mandatory. You know, they've been talking about getting mandatory labelling on food products for years.
Yeah, exactly.
There's still loads of people not using the traffic light system.
But this is the point.
Go down the cereal aisle, and you know, there's probably 50% of them do not have the traffic light warnings on the front on the other.
That's my point. Yeah.
But this whole story is, yes, there's a labelling system coming, but it's not saying what it's doing. It's not saying what it looks like. It's not saying how you'll make the decision. It's not saying what the key features are of the labelling system that say, eat more salt, eat less salt, this is really good at this, but not very good at this. And taking a balanced view. But I got to agree with Greeny. You're never going to buy an Internet of Things safe, are you? You know, I will store all my money in an Internet of Things safe. That's just foolhardy. If you're talking about the fact that it switches your kettle on when you're not there and puts your heating on when you're cold, then I'll take that chance, I think.
You could have some roof. Having the house sense when there's people in it or when it's a certain temperature, because you can save an awful lot of electricity or a lot of power by not running your house at a constant heat all the time.
I've said this before, though, on this show. My parents have an Amazon Echo, and it is set up on my account, and I can tell it to call them. They know that if they say, hey, lady, all lights on, all lights off, all lights on, all lights off, they keep doing that. They know that every light in my house, my studio, and their house will go on and off and attract attention for me to then ring them.
But that's good. That's a safety.
Yeah. So that's another one.
I think that's really clever.
There's something going on. Yeah. It's hard to ignore. It's easy for them to
activate. And the announce function.
Activate.
The announce function, A lady announced that I've fallen over to Ewan. I get that on every Echo that I own.
Mm.
So, and it also appears in the Amazon app. So if I open the Amazon app for any reason, I'll see that the message was there on the announce function. Good story, mate. Good story. Like that. I think there's a lot to do, and I think they're not good enough in the way that they've written that story, because there's no idea what it's going to look like and how it's going to function. So that's...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Someone's posted a thing where I've got to agree terms and conditions. You're never coming on again, whoever you are. Jeff, I'm lying. Oh,
was it me?
Yeah, now all I've got is an advertorial now. It's just like,
oh, that's awesome. Why didn't I get that? The story just popped up for me.
I bet it's a US IP thing.
Could be.
There you go. There's another one for you.
Yeah, sorry about that. All right.
So Facebook's told federal investigators it's open to heightened oversight.
Yeah, which is good that they're open to it, because it's going to happen, it's regardless of whether or not they're open to it.
That's open wide before I leave your jaw open.
Yep, there you go. All right. We have the situation where Facebook has not been exactly the best player in the privacy game. And Mark Zuckerberg hasn't done a good job of convincing regulatory agencies or governments that Facebook actually does have our best intentions at heart, and don't worry, our data will actually be safe. So now they're in this position where they have to agree to federal oversight in the United States. And the way this is going to work is that there will be this independent panel that's created that will be doing quarterly reviews of Facebook's privacy practices. And Mark Zuckerberg will be on part of the panel, or he'll be directly involved in this. And he's going to be assigned, whether he likes it or not, a role as the primary security officer for the company. And this is not Facebook creating this position for him or this responsibility. This is the government just putting it on him. And what it means is that if Facebook has privacy issues that the government feels that they need to pursue, not only will the company be liable for this, but Mark Zuckerberg will be personally liable for it as well. So it's looking
someone's
like
someone's cheeks just clenched.
Yeah, it looks like Zuckerberg kind of is in a tight spot here. And I find it very interesting that the kind of cavalier approach Facebook has taken towards addressing government concerns over privacy has really backfired on them. And now here they are in a position where, whether they want it or not, they're now facing oversight from the US government.
And the change would accompany a multi-billion dollar fine from the FTC.
Yeah, so that they'll have to shake out some change from a couple couches to cover it, but I think they'll be okay.
I've been talking to Facebook this week.
All right, how are they?
They're very well.
Were they pleased to see you?
Yes, yeah, they seem to be.
Were you going for a job there? Just before you weren't going for a job there.
I'm not going to comment on that.
Well, because if you were, be careful what you say, dude, is what I'm saying.
No, what I was going to say is I would like to totally, it doesn't matter what I've said previously, I would like to totally and utterly endorse how wonderful Facebook is. Many.
Oh, Greeny, you so kiss ass.
I don't have a personal Facebook account. I don't have one of those. But they, if you look online, there's many different elements to Facebook where they have helped charities and stuff across the world connect. So I think they're terrific. I love them. Love them, love them, love them. That's it.
Right, okay, that's good to know. Glad you got that out of there, Greeny.
Is that okay?
How many people have genuinely, because I know Greeny shut his Facebook account down, how many people here have genuinely considered and got to the point of hovering over the click to delete their Facebook account if they started one?
I haven't deleted
it. But I have to have it for my job. So,
yeah,
I can say that if I didn't need it for my job, the likelihood that I would have created a Facebook account, or at least creating one as long ago as I did, is very slim.
I probably log on to it every couple of months, and only when someone tells me I need to actually log on and see something.
Is that to talk to Auntie Pamela?
No. I don't even remember if she's on Facebook.
Oh, you don't even talk to her?
I do, but not on Facebook.
Oh, right, okay.
So are you saying we're closer to your aunt than you are?
Yeah, I think you are.
We do really like Aunt Pamela. She's pretty awesome.
Christmas card. I'll give you the address later, Auntie.
I love her. I'm going to get a T-shirt printed with her face on.
Auntie Pamela.
Auntie Pamela.
In a heart with a cherub at the top and the bottom.
I'm going to have a picture cherubs. Of me and Auntie Pamela with a heart in the middle.
And that could be a new Facebook profile picture.
I think so. The thing with Facebook, what really did it to me is my neighbour. So if I'm not totally honest, I was pulling a sickie from work and going through Ironbridge, which is where I live.
Greeny, you wouldn't possibly do that as a prospective employee, trusted. You'd never throw a sickie.
Yeah, this is a friend of yours did this.
Yes, yeah, friend. So I was doing this.
There
sickie,
we go.
There was a sort of a procession through the streets of Ironbridge, and she took a selfie of us and everybody on it, and then posted on Facebook. And then obviously it's time and date stamped. So I didn't look very poorly in my terrible
city time.
But the part that I didn't like, and I suppose it's a criticism on myself, is that I shouldn't have been lying because I wasn't sick at all. I wanted to go to this parade thing.
Seen the light. Good man.
But I did. And she posted it online and stuff like that. So, in a way, it was my own fault for... being a blackguard, I suppose.
But that was really unfortunate because you were just going to the chemist to get the prescription.
That's
so you
exactly
could get yourself
right.
home to feel better, yeah.
I was going to jump on one of those, one of those parade tractors and be carried there. I could have been the princess of the...
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, mate. That's you.
Yeah, I could have done that. I could have been there, and then I'd never have realised it was me.
I was just going to ask whether Auntie Pamela's good looking or not, but actually, I realised that the better trait would be saintly tolerance where Greeny's concerned. And I've just also heard Howard typing an apology email to her aunt for everything that he's now transposing on this podcast. Muller's pulled it off. Muller's absolutely done it. He said. We need to sell Auntie Pamela merch. I heart Auntie Pamela merch on BTN.
Yeah, as long as you keep the money flowing, yeah.
How's the tech knowledge?
No.
No. She's never going to see us face to face. No.
She might.
Do we know whether she's watching or not? Has she got in touch?
I have no idea. I can find out. It'd
be a bit shit if she's not watching, really. We've had all this.
She's probably trying to catch it up if she's not watching.
She's just been stringing us along. And,
yeah, we've been talking to the corner of an empty room.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Cybersecurity pros join the Right to Repair, Atlee.
So there's been this kick for... a lot of states in the U.S. have started trying to get legislation passed that will give users or owners rights, well, users, because none of us actually own our devices, the right to repair their devices rather than only at somewhere other than just, say, at the Apple store. Apple is known for pretty exorbitant prices for repair to the point where...
This isn't just an Apple problem, though, is it?
No, it's not just an Apple problem. I'm saying that Apple is the one of the ones at the forefront of this because of the cost of repairing Apple devices and how easily certain parts of them can break.
No, okay, so Bob's putting a point in here. See the Mac show for this discussion because we had it this afternoon. So let's talk about the wider product scales, please, of right to repair.
Of course. And so, I mean, I was just looking. I'm looking at new devices, right, because Microsoft's end-of-lifing their Windows Mobile. So after a while, my four-year-old phone that has been a fantastic beast and done me well all this time, I'm going to have to get something else at some point. So I've been looking at the different options, and all the options I'm looking at are about $2,000. Right. Now, $2,000 for something that's going to have a logical life of 2 years is a little ridiculous, especially when these companies won't let you fix something you spent that much money on.
No,
and
quite.
So, pardon?
Quite.
And so, I mean, I'm very interested in how this legislation is going to go forward and whether other countries will follow suit or whether they'll end up leading the way. Fair enough. Mueller's saying that Surface computers are as bad. True, but anytime I've brought my Surface computer in, they've either replaced it or repaired it on the spot. I've never had a problem with my Surface computers. I've been using them ever since version 1. That has left me without the device for longer than I can get to the store, and they'll just swap it out in most cases. It's just, I haven't had the same experience with other devices. I have had iPhones and Android phones over the years as well, as I use them for test devices. And I found that the replacement of those devices is exorbitant and the repair is almost non-existent. At least it's gotten a little better now, but as soon as you take it to a screen repair place or whatever, you've voided your warranty. You have no more warranty from Apple or from Samsung or whoever you got your device from. And that's a little egregious for something that's as expensive as they charge.
Atlee, in terms of when you said, so with your Surface, you've taken it back, I'm assuming you've taken that into a Microsoft store, they've repaired it or replaced it for you. Is that, I'm trying to think how long the Surface one's been out, is that sort of almost an in-warranty type repair? Because I'm sure if you cracked your screen, took that into a Microsoft store, they're going to charge you for a replacement screen, aren't they?
I have always, with these devices, I use them for work, so I always get the extended warranty on them.
Mm.
And their warranty has been fantastic to the point where I just bring it in and they replace it.
Yeah, same thing with AppleCare.
And the same thing with AppleCare. Yeah, I agree with that. But the problem is AppleCare is only a certain amount of time. It actually isn't as long as the warranty I can get on the Surface, I think, is like 3 years in the extended warranty. I don't think I can get 3 years on an iPhone. And it wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, Apple, that is 3 years.
Apple is three years. You know, okay, what I find fascinating about this whole discussion, and I'm talking in the grander scheme, not just us today, but the whole right to repair discussion, is that this started with tractors, John Deere tractors specifically, mm-hmm. and it has spun out into this other thing where most of the people that are looking at right to repair aren't even aware what the original intent of this was, which was for farmers out in the field to be able to fix something on their tractor when it breaks instead of having to shut down production for days or weeks while they wait for John Deere to do a repair for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's from there, it kind of bled out to, well, you know, if we want to do that with our tractors, why can't I do that with my BMW? And then it spun out from there to, well, what about phones and computers and other electronic devices that have been designed just to be these essentially black boxes that you buy, it does the thing, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it pivoted and became a thing about Apple. Anyhow, I just find the whole path that this concept has taken to be really interesting.
Can I say that it has changed a little bit with Apple? So previously, if you had your screen replaced by a third-party person, and then you took your Apple product into Apple, your iPhone, for example, they wouldn't honour the warranty, but now they do. So
yeah, no, I've had that with a MacBook. I got asked for money for a logic board, and they said, "Well, it's out of warranty. It's just out of warranty." I'm like, "What about the 2-year EU warranty?" Okay, yeah, so that's free then. Exactly what you're saying, Greeny. Totally wrong. And that's Apple. Nickeling and diming, mate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the nickel and diming stuff, I don't care what company it is, that's just a crappy thing to do.
Yeah. And the other thing that I have is that I don't think that it would bother me so much if these phones were $500 or $600, but they're $2,000 now.
Yeah, no, I think that is a good point. If the cost of individual tech is horrific now.
Like, I mean, $2,000, I only paid $3,000 for the thing I do all of my work on. Like, it's kind of ridiculous that this little handheld phone is now $3,000 or $2,000. I don't see where the value is on it. I don't see where coming up with that price.
No, I do get the idea, though, of saying, well, do buy something cheaper then.
No, that's true.
If you don't like it, buy something cheaper. So, you know, I've got to the stage now where last year I had my iPhone 7. I didn't go to the 7 Plus. I wasn't interested because it wasn't an upgrade enough for me. And now I've gone to the XS Max. And that is a significant improvement on the camera. It is a much better device for me to use for work as well as. So yesterday, I went and filmed at a bank, and they said, we need some outside shots, just some establishing stuff. Yeah, no problem, I'll go and do that. But it was pissing down with rain, so it's like, oh, you know, this isn't going to look great. It's going to be grey. There's nothing I can do to get rid of the greyness. And they said, okay, well, maybe if it brightens up later, we'll shoot some stuff. And I'd finished up, and I'd actually gone out to get a taxi that didn't show up. So I ended up waiting for 40 minutes, and in that 40 minutes, the sun came out, and I was like, oh, damn it. If I get the phone out, get me camera out, I could shoot some of this stuff. And then I thought, well, no, but the problem is if I do that, I've got to, and the taxi turns up, then I'm going to be struggling to get all my stuff away. And I pulled out my phone. And I know damn well that the footage that I shot last night with the phone will be more than good enough to work in the film. They will not even notice. So there you go. There's my £2,000. Is absolutely worth it. That's it.
Yeah, I know. But you're also an edge case, right? I mean, what about all of the...
No, but everyone should buy a phone based on an edge case or a use case for themselves. If you're buying it because it's the newest thing, then you're a twat to start with.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
No arguments there, then.
Fair enough. No,
a bit different for you as a developer, I grant you. But then do you make the money back on the purchase of the item that you've got from your development and your software sales?
Well, Apple, no. But, my big problem is that I always end up buying the least expensive iPhone I can get for development because they don't last very long for developers. Apple turns off the ability to access them through developer tools after 2 years.
Apple, so, no, but the Doro phone apps that
are
I write,
you sure?
Yeah.
Because yes, I have an iPhone 6 on my developer desk. Account.
I have an iPhone 6, yes, but next year it won't work.
That's a 4-year-old phone?
But they haven't declared that either, though, yet. It might.
Okay.
They've only just obsoleted the iPad 2 after 8 years from development.
Oh, no, I know. The iPads have been much better than the phones have.
Yeah, but they haven't got rid of the 6 yet, mate. So they may not even get rid of the 6 next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if they don't, then I'm a lot happier. But, I mean... When it comes down to it's just not the experience I've been used to with all the other platforms. Apple does have sort of an end, whereas Android and Windows Phone, you could basically develop on them until the phone physically died.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but that being the case, I end up having to buy a bigger device because of what I need it for, like all the stuff that I keep on it. If I put 26 email accounts on a cheap device, it's going to grind to a halt. And that's just...
We need to stage an intervention. If you're dealing with 26 email addresses... Oh, my God.
That's nothing.
No, it just ends up being that I end up needing something that's powerful. But when I'm looking at these devices, and $2,000 is a little egregious for...
I think one of the things that came out today in the Mac show, which I'll throw at you now, Atlee, is that people weren't absolutely right to repair, nothing else but right to repair. One thing that we all were agreeing on, though, was right to upgrade. And the removal of the ability to take away RAM and add RAM, or the ability to change hard drives, because a hard drive is an expendable device. You get a set number of writes in an SSD. It should be accessible. You should be able to pop it out. That's why it's got a SATA connection on it, so that it is fundamentally a user serviceable item. Mm-hmm. And the device should allow for that. A phone that's waterproof, maybe not so much, but certainly something like a desktop or a MacBook or a decent laptop should have a user serviceable part.
Yeah, no, I have one of the reasons why I really like the new Surface Hub 2 that they put out, because the board that has the CPU and the RAM and the storage on it, everything can be pulled out and replaced with a different board. So you can put in an upgraded board later on and replace it, which, I mean, should be a no-brainer for a device that costs $8,000
to $12,000. Yeah, go on, Jeff.
All right, so right to repair, we're looking at that as a government requirement, so a regulation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this a stepping stone to governments then dictating product designs? Like, if you're going to build a phone, you must build it with this connector and, things like that. And if that is the case, I'm not comfortable with that at all.
Well, there is the option as well that if they build it in a certain way and anyone can repair it, it might mean that the security has to be less so that anyone can access it with mitigation.
Oh, I'm not comfortable with that either.
That could be a backdoor to law enforcement access.
Yeah.
Wasn't that part of the argument with the Apple scenario about the home button, the fingerprint sensor, the secure enclave?
Yeah, well, they also, in this article that I posted, it's talking about how security officials are now getting involved in this right to repair argument, because they're saying that it will give access to people that shouldn't have access to them, things that would lessen the security of the devices.
Yeah, I mean, this is an Uber-type argument for your phone, isn't it? There's no checks, there's no balances against who can get a I put a stall down in the street and say, I fix iPhones. Here you go, give it to me. You're going to have to unlock it before I can fix it. Thanks very much.
Cha-cha. And I can drop an extra chip in there while I'm at it.
Yeah. So it's an interesting argument, but I think there is a definite need for, because certainly Apple is guilty of leveraging people to purchase more expensive memory from them than the value that it actually provides. And you can go on about
more devices.
You can all go, hang on, it's about match pairs and that kind of stuff. Bollocks. It's got nothing to do with match pairs. It's to do with extortion. I'm not having anything else. Greeny, have you got... I think Greeny's the only one left, isn't he?
Yep.
I think I have.
Greeny.
Can I talk about the moon now, then?
Mate, you moon to your heart's content, pal.
Right. Okay, this is good. This is really good. Fair play to our friends across the pond. But did you know, this is a little bit tech-related, but I've got to be honest, it's slightly speech-curious.
You're slowly getting the grasp of this show, aren't you, mate? Well done.
Yeah. But did you know that the British put a flag down on the moon at the same time as the Americans did?
Oh, come on. This is one of those pub quiz questions. Go on.
No.
Are you talking about Voyage to the Moon? Because that was actually a short movie.
You wait, my moment.
Come on then, Greeny. Keep us out of suspense. Let's have it. How did the British put a flag down at the same time? Because they made the poll.
The British worked very hard with the Americans on experiments and various bits of technical gubbins. And there was a guy called Mr. Wright. That doesn't sound quite right.
He made the first airplane.
That's right.
Yeah. And he wasn't British, but go on.
Keith Wright, he was an engineer at the Kennedy Space Station while working on experiments for the 1969 Apollo mission.
Right.
So to quote Mr.
You don't know
Wright,
this, you're just reading it.
I know, but it's still an interesting story.
Yes, it is. Keep going.
Well, shut up now. Let me finish my story.
Where's the link?
Can I finish this or not?
Yes, get on with it. For Christ's sake, mate. Go for it. Just...
All right, well, you lot, stop interrupting. We were working on the experiments that the astronauts were going to put on the lunar surface. We had Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin come to our facility for a run-through. There were two brackets on the experiment, which held the solar panels folded, which traveled to the moon. And basically what they did is they snuck
Union Jack.
It was a drawing. That's what he's trying to say.
Union flag. There we go. That's the word I was trying to remember. They put a Union flag on it. And the British and the Americans got to the moon and put their flags down at the same time.
Buzz Aldrin was walking out of mission control and they're patting him on the back going, good luck, mate, and they're sticking stickers on his back.
Pretty much.
I can fill in a little more info on this story. If you want.
Not a surprise, mate. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Greeny, he's got it right. It was two British scientists, and they were working at the Kennedy Space Center. And the,
this is what I'm saying.
Camps has gone to sleep. Camps has gone to sleep.
Yeah, that sensor package with the solar panels, the two scientists signed their names on the panels, and then one of them drew a British flag on the solar panels. So technically, the U.S. flag was planted first because they planted the flag, and then later on they went and got the sensor package, brought it out and set it up. But yes, so there is the British flag hand-drawn on solar panels on a sensor package on the moon.
Excellent story. I'm not sure what we're going to discuss on it, but excellent story, Greeny. Well done.
Well, it was the technical part of it, and
incredibly technical.
I was going to. There's something about a ballpoint pen as well, which I think the Russians got to first, didn't they? That you can.
The Americans developed a pen that you could write in space with, and the Russians took pencils. But all of their technical stuff has now washed away.
That's actually a good point about the signatures. Since it was regular ballpoint pen, and it's been exposed to the intense solar radiation on the moon, that ink has probably it's probably gone.
I don't know about the ink because I owned a Fisher Space Pen. Which had an ability to pump ink to the nib even when it was upside down and underwater and all that kind of stuff.
Unfiltered solar radiation.
Well, I did live in Castle Bromwich.
Or whatever. Yeah, it's going to fade away, I bet.
It might do. I don't know. They might have thought of that, though, Jeff, is what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying, and yes, they're very smart and clever people.
They thought about how they're going to write in zero gravity with it. So, I just thought you'd hope they'd have thought about the radiation and the intensity of the
solar. I hope so. I would like to think their signatures are still visible on that solar panel.
That'd be nice. I see what you're talking now. So the scientists' signatures. The guys that built it, the British guys. No, I think you might be right there. Thing they've used a Sharpie, haven't they? And that's gone.
No, I thought it was stamped on.
I see. What
I'm sure it was stamped.
No, they wrote it on with a pen.
Well, as long as it was written on with a pen,
probably gone now.
It might still be there. The flag's not even
there. We need to send somebody up to check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Martians will have taken the American flag and sort of run around with it, laughing a little bit. Anyway, sure, that was silence. It was complete silence.
If it's any consolation, if the signatures are gone, we already know the flag is not standing because the force of the liftoff from the lunar surface, it blew over the flag.
Oh, that's a shame.
Did it?
Yeah. Oh. They put the other flags farther away from the landers after that.
Yeah. Muller is making a habit at the moment of telling me I'm wrong and saying the Russians taking pencils is bollocks. It's not. They used grease pencils on slates, mate. So kindly stop telling me I'm wrong all the time, eh? There's a good fella. Right. Great story, mate. Well done. Fantastic. This podcast and all the others brought to you by TSO Host. We love them to bits. They are awesome. And we are indebted to them immensely for giving us big servers, bandwidths, and all that kind of stuff. We wouldn't be doing this show without them. You wouldn't be able to listen to us. We wouldn't have the storage to store everything without TSO Host giving it to us. If you'd like to buy stuff from them, that's great. They'd love that too. You get an offer code BTN20 and you get 20% off your hosting basket. However, what they really want from us is brand recognition. We need you to go on Twitter, social media and say at TSO Host, thank you very much for supporting at British Tech. That is it. That is all you have to do. Just get the word out about how great they are and how much they've looked after us. Just everybody, if every listener please did that onto their social media, it would make a massive difference to their view of us. So please, please, please get ahead and do that. Also, I'd like to say thank you to Wirecast. At Telestream is the place to go and say thank you to them as well, if you get the possibility. And they give us the software that helps us run the room here and do all the fancy stuff, like the scrolling thing that I worked out today. Look at that. It's a chat room.
That's pretty fancy.
It's good, though, because I wonder how many people come on and watch and don't know that there's even a chat room, even though we keep referring to it, but or where it is. So,
well, they might think it's an inside joke, but now with that scroller, they know it's totally legit.
Totally. And thanks to Hoyer for my glasses. I do love these. Every day someone comes up and says, I really like your glasses, mate. They are beautiful. I love them. I don't want to do without them. I'm worried about my prescription changing and me having to get a new pair of glasses. Well, I don't want a new pair of glasses. I just want these, please. Podcast at hoyer.co.uk if you would like the Unico experience, which is fantastic. And the Bash is coming up. The Bash is the 27th of July. You have until the 27th of June to book your ticket because there will be no more ticket sales after the 27th of June. And if there are not 60 paying adults by that point, there will be no Bash. Plain and simple. So there needs to be 60 paying adults by the 27th of June. Simple as that. I've got 1 month notice on the hall and I am not spending all the money and hoping that people are going to sign on. We've always had people sign on. We've always done all right with it. But it's always been a last minute thing and I've always been stressing over it and I'm done with the stress. Okay. I am not doing it so you lot can sleep easy and keep your cash in your pocket. If you haven't bought a ticket by the 27th of June, there will be no Bash. Are we clear? Crystal, I hope.
Yes, Dad.
And that's the way it's going to be, and that is not going to change. I warn you. Do not test me on this. Now, those of you who have thought ahead and have got your hotel room cheap, fear not. If you have booked your hotel room, then we will have a party, and you will be invited to that party, and your money will be refunded. Okay, so don't worry. But you won't have wasted your hotel. But I'm not hiring the hall and doing the whole shebang with 70-odd plus people. If there's not enough people coming by the 27th.
I thought I was crashing at your place.
You can crash at my place, mate. That's not a problem. If you're coming, that's fine. I'll sort your bed out. No worries at all. Might not be indoors, but...
Sleeping with the dog, right?
Get some tents out.
But that's the Bash, 27th of July. Make sure you get your ticket booked by the 26th of July. 26th of June, please. Because on the 27th, it's over. Plain and simple. Right, time for the cool things. Start us off, camps.
Okie dokie. I'm going to choose Disney Life this time. So I'm sure everybody knows Disney Life's been about for quite a while now. Before we went out to Cornwall in April for a week, So to keep the kids happy in the car, I subscribed to DisneyLife.com, which last time I looked at this a few years ago, it was $9.99 a month. $4.99 a month now, and it's an absolute bargain. So I don't even know how many Disney movies, soundtracks, books, shorts, TV shows are on Disney Life. There's absolutely loads. But I've got to be honest, I found myself totally absorbed in all the classic Mickey Mouse cartoons. All the Steamboat Willies. And
I loved Mickey Mouse.
I've spent hours, absolutely hours, watching all the classic Mickey Mouse cartoons. $4.99 a month. If you've got kids, you need something to keep them happy on the iPads, particularly if you're traveling. It's money well spent. It's cheap as chips for that.
Brilliant. How much can you download to the device?
I've not tried because I've just tethered it all off my phone because I've got unlimited data.
Right.
I don't know. I'll give it a go and report back.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, brilliant. Absolutely. Cool. For $4.99 a month, I found it an absolute lifesaver when we had a 6-7 hour drive each way.
I see Pirates of the Caribbean top right corner there. So does that mean you can get all the Marvel stuff as well with it?
Yeah, there's loads. There's loads of Marvel on there. Man.
Well worth it then.
Yep.
Even the new Marvel stuff, like.
Not the new.
No, yeah. But in Infinity War, you can get Infinity War on there.
I'll have a check.
Right, you report back by the end of the show that there is Infinity War. If there is, that's quite impressive because that means it's equal to the DVD release.
I'll let you know.
All right, good pick, mate. Like that, $4.99 a month, not bad at all. Mm. Do you get one device for that, or do you get multiple?
No. I think you can. I think it's about 10 devices, if I remember right.
Oh, mate,
wow.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, it is something silly. Both kids have got it on their iPads. I've got it on my phone. 6 profiles on 10 compatible devices.
Jesus, that's brilliant.
Nice.
Good pick, mate. Follow that, Jeff.
I can go cheap. So
we know this about you, mate.
Well, you know. Okay. Wyze, which is spelled WYZE. They make inexpensive but really good webcams, and you know, like for home monitoring and that sort of stuff. And you can pick up a really good camera for like $25, and they have one that sits on a turnable base, so you can remotely move the camera.
Pan tilts,
and that's like $30 or $35.
Oh, that's not bad.
Now they have this new thing out that's called Wyze Sense, and it starts with this little thing right here, and so it plugs into the back of your Wyze camera, right. and this is basically a radio transmitter and receiver for little things like this. So the kit comes with the transceiver, and this is a motion sensor. And then it comes with two little, what do you call the sensors, where it senses if something's open or closed?
Contact?
Thank you. Two contact sensors. And the whole package is $20. And it's like crazy simple to set up. You just plug this into the USB port on the back of your camera. And then you go into the Wyze app. And say, okay, I'm adding one of these new things, and then it pairs it up and it shows up in your app, and then you have the motion sensors and the contact sensors to use as you please. I like the Wyze stuff because they make good quality products and they sell them for a really low price. So I picked this up when they did their pre-order sale. And when I say pre-order sale, I mean, I don't mean it was a discount because it was a pre-order. It's a $20 package. That's it. Mm. And so the first batch that they sent out, which is what I have, they're waiting to send out more until after they get feedback, just to make sure that they worked out the bugs. And once, I'm assuming in a few weeks, they'll start selling them again. because so far people haven't been reporting in with serious problems with these. So $20, if you already have a Wyze camera, you're already halfway there. And it's a really great little sensor kit, which I know fits in great with our discussion earlier about security and IoT.
Excellent. So you've got a security device for your insecure IoT services. There you go, Grant.
Exactly.
Perfect, yeah. Mate. It'd make you feel much more at home.
I do. I feel like I can sleep better at night already.
Good man. Excellent.
Except when they break in.
Well, the great thing is I'll know if they've broken in, even if I'm not home. And if I'm not home and they break in, I can call 911. And there's a police substation that is a block away from me. So I tend to get really fast response times.
How often have you tested this?
often enough that I can establish a pattern. I get fast response times.
When I was a little boy, I used to, you know, when you sleep one way in the bed, you always do it. But then you're scared if a witch is going to look through the bedroom window. So you switch your way around. And so instead of having you just switch your way around and face or sleep the opposite way. So then the witch can't see you. So that could be something along an IoT device, do you think? A witch sensor or something like that?
Yes.
There we go. Let's go into business together.
Let's get a Kickstarter going. I think what we should do, though, when we get the system up and running, we need to do a special deal. Like if you buy two or more, you get like a free watch with it. Do we know anyone that has a bunch of extra watches?
Yes, I saw it. No, sure.
He got you there.
That's awesome. But no, that'd be good. There'd be no point having two witch sensors, though, because if you have to sort of keep swapping which way you're lying in the bed, then there's no need to have two. You only need one, because when the witch comes in, you look at your sensor or your watch or whatever it is, you swap around, and then she'll never notice you. I don't know where it came from. Jeff, is that something you had when you were a boy?
No, not at all. But I'm totally happy to exploit the people that did have that and convince them to buy two sensors, even though they need only one, because that way they get the free watch.
Yes. Okay. Good.
This is about creating a profitable business model, not whether or not having two sensors is actually useful.
Yes. Yes. You need two rich sensors.
That's right.
In some ways, as I got older, I feel a bit sorry for the witch because she wasn't welcomed in. But it's probably a good thing to do.
Maybe she was just lonely.
Yeah,
and she spent the rest of her life sad and feeling empty because you didn't let her in.
I don't know. She looked at my window every night and she thought, you know, he switched direction tonight again, so I can't see him. Poor thing.
You found a rat down that rattle. Did you find a rat down that rat hole?
I have a sensor right here we can track it with.
Okay. Excellent. Cool. Atlee, have you got anything cool, mate?
I did. I put it in the list there.
I know you did, mate, about 30 minutes ago.
Oh. Yeah, I'm very, very sorry I had to run away, but I just bought a house. So.
Oh, congratulations.
Ooh, congrats.
So, yeah. So I now have a house in Nova Scotia.
Oh, nice.
You heard it here first, folks.
The prettiest name in Canada.
Nova Scotia?
Yeah, it's a nice name. I like that. Beats Newfoundland or...
So this is a really interesting keyboard now that I'm looking at building a new office and getting some new tech. There's a couple of great things I've been looking at. This is one of the things I really love, these retro mechanical keyboards. They feel so nice to type on, and I just find them very satisfying to use. This one's actually one of the nicer ones I've seen.
I like how this looks.
It's got a very retro typewritery feel, and I'm old, so sort of Reminds me of my first typewriter.
It does, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what, you had a typewriter in 1930 then?
Hey, edit this.
I can, because you're not on screen. Your keyboard's on screen.
Ah, that's true. Damn it. Ah. I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to write. So my mom got me this really cute little typewriter for younger people, and it was in a case and everything. And I remember carting that around and typing until I realized computers existed.
Cool. All right. $137 Canadian dollars. So that's like 25 pence in the UK.
Yeah, sure it is. Sure it is.
It's only 3 euros though.
No, it's probably about 70 euros, 65 euros.
Excellent, mate. Cool. Greeny, do you have a cool thing?
I do. A really, really cool thing.
Good.
So yeah, this is a really goodie. It costs 99 pence. It is a Mac application. And I suppose it's aimed at people who make PDF magazines, brochures, instruction books, whatever. And you want to be able to easily print them out. So if you think of an A4 landscape, and you want to divide the page into two, and then you want to make it into a booklet, and you want to do it either double-sided or single-sided, print that out, and then staple it together. So people have got a booklet. The Parish Magazine is the one that sort of springs to mind. And when you do this sort of stuff, and I've done it in the past, when you want to actually make the booklet, you have to twizzle around the pages and make sure there's like a blank space on the back page, and then a front cover, obviously. But on the actual printout, you have to have the blank space on the left-hand side and the
pagination.
Pagination is exactly the word I was
thanks,
looking
man.
For. And thank you. So booklet does exactly that. So if you've got, say 20 A4 PDFs that you want to turn into an A5 booklet that you want to print out, and it sorts all the pages out, and it sorts all the correct pagination, then it does it all for you. And it's absolutely fantastic. 99 pence off.
Excellent
the
value.
Mac store. Yeah, it's called Booklet, and it's terrific.
Booklet. Good man.
Booklet.
Howard, what have you got for us?
Okay. I've got a friend whose son wants a dog, but she's not willing to have one. So trolling around the internet and came across this, which I thought was quite interesting. Because it's a bit more realistic. They started a Kickstarter campaign. I think they've reached their goal, but I think they might still be collecting funds. But it was quite interesting to me because it's very real. Well, looks lifelike. And the commands and stuff, I mean, if you watch the video I think it's one of the founders is actually demonstrating. At some points you think, oh my gosh, that looks like a real dog. And at other points you think, that looks like a toy. But I'd be quite interested to see how far they get with this compared to the Sony-ish type of robot dogs.
Which is very plasticky.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tombot, $449. It's got a check on the affordable. Rechargeable batteries, responds to touch, voice commands, hyper-realistic, software upgradable. A firmware update is available for your dog. Can you stop it shitting on the lawn, please?
Sorry, it needs a firmware update.
But it's interesting because they initially, I think they were looking at this for dementia and Alzheimer's patients, because I think one of the founders, his parents, mom or dad, had that, so he developed this. But they found that even kids are now interested in it, and so yeah, it'd be can't wait to see what happens. Like I said,
it wags its tail. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. It turns its head away when it touches the side of its face. Bloody hell, that is realistic.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's a bit cat-like as well, actually.
Yeah.
My dog would rip it apart.
It's bizarre. Where do you put the charger? How do you recharge it?
I could take a few guesses.
Oh, they can't have done that. If it really is.
Oh, that's too funny.
We're talking about on the end of its paw, Auntie Pamela, of course.
One of those air chargers. It just sits on a pad. Charges. That's fine. That's awesome.
Goes walks at the end of the day over to a pad and sits on a pad to recharge. That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
The bicentennial man dog.
That's too funny.
Good. Where can we get a hold of you, Camps?
You can get me at Campaign UK on Twitter, Instagram. I am Just Run Chris. That's where I'd keep all my running stuff. In the Slack room.
Bob wants to know if this is an April Fool. No, it's not.
No.
You and just to update on the Disney Life stuff, doesn't look like there's any Marvel films in there, actually. It's all the Marvel cartoons, but I can't see the films in there.
They would have had me.
But I think the films are probably going to end up in there as they start to move, right? They're
I would expect in time, yeah.
Mm. I'd be surprised if they do, because Disney's doing that separate Marvel streaming service.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Jeff, where would you be?
How about textexpander.com and smilesoftware.com and the Mac show and here and
didn't you say you had a new piece of software out on Chrome today?
Oh, yeah. Text Expander for Chrome as a plugin is available now. And so on a Chromebook, you just install it in Chrome. So it also means that if you want Text Expander on Linux, you can now have Text Expander on Linux.
That's pretty cool. So you were telling Andy about it after the show instead of telling him about it during the show today.
Oh, well, you know, Andy was on a roll. I didn't want to break his stride.
No. So get out there and get your Chromebooks set up with Text Expander. Super.
Yeah. It's a public beta and definitely want feedback.
Cool. Where are you, Atlee?
Atlee will be this at Build All Week this week. So this coming week, if you want to follow me on Twitter at Atlee Hunter, you'll hear all the latest going on at Microsoft's Build Conference. And otherwise, you can also reach me on Instagram at Atlee Hunter. I'll be in the Slack room and here.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Greeny, where would you be?
BritishMark.com.
Excellent, mate. Are you going to play us out with a bit of Mr. Blue Sky?
I can do. I don't know how well it'll pick up, but I can give it a go. Well,
you go and set up, and I'll say goodbye to Howard, and then you can start us off.
I've got no direct input though, so it's going to be off. Maybe if I unplug my microphone, it
no,
might,
don't just play it. Just turn the volume up and clank away, mate. Don't worry about it.
Is that okay? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you fine.
Yeah, we got you fine.
And Howard, where would you be?
Hi, you can find me on Twitter as at Howie A or in the Slack room.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Get the network at British Tech if you'd like. And you can also follow us on all the other platforms like Facebook and that kind of thing. Back again next week as normal. It should be really, really good fun. Fridays, if it's on Fridays, it's happening. If it's not on Fridays, it's not happening. Playing us out with a bit of Mr. Blue Sky, it's Greeny Boy.
Oh, hold on. That's not right. Are you going to sing along,
man? Go on then. The sun is shining in the sky. There ain't a cloud inside.
Sun is shining in the sky. There ain't a cloud inside. This is ridiculous.
You were doing fine there, mate. You had me.
That was awesome.
No, I'm going to do... When you were young and your heart was an open book.
live and let live. You know you did, they know you did, you know you did. Never changing worlds in which you live in makes you give in and cry. Live and let die. Well done, Greeny. Good man. See you all next week. Thanks for listening.
Woo! That was awesome.
Great one. Perfect, dude.
Nice one.
Has this replaced the ukulele spot?
Yes, I think it has, mate. I think it does.
Oh, yeah.